Good morning. Welcome to this session. So today we are looking into 2 Samuel, chapters 22 to 23. So we are looking at 2 chapters, the whole of chapter 22 and then part of chapter 23. It's a long passage. And so what I've done is to kind of summarize it because we can't really, it's too long. And so I've summarized it into a few paragraphs that I'm gonna show to you shortly. I don't know if you can see there. So I've summarized it into those 4 paragraphs. And so I'll read the paragraph and then we'll take it from there. So the passage is about the house of David, everlasting house. So we'll be looking into a song that was sung by David. He was praising the Lord for what God did to him. And so it starts from chapter 22 to 23 there. So David sings a song of praise to God after being delivered from Saul and all his enemies. He describes God as his rock, fortress, and savior, the one who rescued him from death and powerful foes. David recalls how in his distress he cried out to God, who responded with great power, shaking the earth and scattering his enemies. He celebrates God's faithfulness, saying that the Lord rewards righteousness, saves the humble, and opposes the proud. David acknowledges that his victories, strength, and leadership come entirely from God, who equips him for battle, secures his path, and establishes him as a ruler over nations. He concludes by exalting God as the living rock and savior, who grants deliverance, kindness, and enduring promises to him and his descendants. In his last words, David affirms that his kingship was established by God's spirit and covenant. He describes righteous leadership as a life-giving, like the morning light after rain. He trusts in God's everlasting covenant for his salvation and future, while warning that the wicked will ultimately be destroyed like thorns bent away. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning full of praise because you are our God. Thank you for giving us this time that we can look into your word. And so, Father, we pray that you open our hearts as we listen to your word so that we understand your word. And not only understand it, but, Father, we pray that this word may help us to grow in our faith and to strengthen our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so today, as I said, we'll be looking into the words of David. And so here we hear the voice of a man, really, who, after so many battles and struggles, sits back or pauses and reflects of what the Lord did to him. And then he describes the Lord as his rock, fortress, and deliverer. When I was looking into this passage, I recalled really a story of a certain young lady in our church back home. This lady was giving a testimony in church about the stormy season that she had. She had lost her job, and really she was struggling to ends meet, to make sure that she can provide for her family. So she was the one working, the husband was not working. So financially, they struggled a lot. But more to that, she also developed really a condition, a health condition, that really required also the financial aspect for her to also get the required treatment. And she really struggled a lot. And she prayed and asked also brethren within the church to pray for her. For some months, she struggled. But later on, after a few months, she secured a job. And then after securing a job, also her health condition improved. And so some of the believers within the church were like, oh, you are a strong woman, you are a strong lady. How did you manage to do all that? But what struck me is the response that really she gave. She said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Lily, she acknowledged God, that God was the one who fought for her. God was her rock. That struck me. Her testimony is our bridge to David's song. Whether in ancient battlefield where David was hiding in the cave, or in today's personal struggles, the truth remains: God is our refuge, our strength, and our deliverer. So what do we learn from this passage? There are a couple of things that we can learn from this. First of all, we learn that God is our rock and refuge. Secondly, we learn that God hears us in our distress. Third, God fights for us. Fourth, God rewards righteousness and humility. Fifth, God's covenant is secure. Really, David is a very powerful man of God. And when you read the passage, it really touches your heart. What a great man he was. He was very wise, and his words were really spot on. So when we look at the first point there about God is our rock and refuge, what does it entail? So really David begins this song by declaring that the Lord is his rock, his fortress, and deliverer. When you look at the passage itself, you may think that it is a poetry. But in David's life, this was not a poet. It was a real life experience. He spent years hiding from Saul in caves and fortress. Yet he realized that true security wasn't in those caves, but in God who held him. The words of David is also echoed in a number of passages within the Bible. For example, in Proverbs 18, verse 10, it reminds us that the name of the Lord is a fortified tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25, Jesus describes the wise man who builds on the rock, and the storm comes, but the house still stands. The difference was that the house was built on that rock. The Bible consistently presents God as the immovable foundation in a world full of storms. We also see that a number of people of God experience trouble as well, challenges, but they look unto the Lord, and the Lord was their rock. We look at Moses and the Israelites. When they were running away from the Egyptians, yeah, they were trapped in between the soldiers of Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And really, people were panicking. You, Moses, why did you bring us? We're going to die now. But what did Moses say? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Look at Hannah. Years of barrenness without a child. She prayed to God. The God was her rock. And she was given Samuel. And Hannah, in her song of praise to God for giving her Samuel, she said, There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. There are so many people. We can talk about Jacob and so many. And we can learn from them as well. As we reflect on David's words, it is important to ask ourselves a few questions. First, where do we learn when life shakes? Are we leaning on a paycheck, a person, or a position? Or are we leaning on the lock of ages? What fortress have we built that could collapse tomorrow? In our modern times, we build fortresses of our own. These fortresses might be finances. We say, if I save a lot of money, I'll be secure. But economies collapse, and inflation eats away. Careers, we put our identity in jobs and promotions. But one restructuring within the company, one illness, one accident, it's gone. Relationships, we depend on people to be our rock. But people fail us, even those with best intentions. David Rand, wars crumble, enemies, armies fall, friends betray, but God alone never changes. He is the rock that outlasts every storm. What do we learn? What's the take-home message from here? The take-home message is that you have a rock that never moves. Run to him, build your life on him, rest in him. Key point number two, God hears us in our distress. David says, in my distress I called to the Lord, I called out to my God. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. This verse is really a verse of desperation. He's praising God because in the time of desperation, David really asked the Lord to rescue him. When the enemies, when Saul was looking for him, he saw death around the corner. And he was distressed. But what did he do? He cried to God. And God heard him. There are so many people within the Bible who experienced similar challenges like David. The Israelites in Egypt, in slavery, they suffered a lot, but they cried to the Lord and God helped them. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. Jonah in the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed. In my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help and you listened to my cry. Even though Jonah was running away from God, God still held him. We live in a world where when we have problems and we share with other people, sometimes even those closest to us, they get tired of hearing our struggles. But God is different. His ears never are too busy for us. His attention never divided. He hears the whispers in the hospital bed, the silent tears on the pillow, the desperate prayer whispered while driving to work. Have you cried out in desperation? And God answered you. Sometimes we call people, and they don't even pick up. When we have problems, sometimes we call people, but they don't pick up the call. But when you call heaven, God always answers. The line is never busy. It's always open for us to reach out to our Father. What's our take-home message? Don't stop calling on him, even in silence and tears. God is listening. Point number three, God fights for us. David's song vividly describes God's power in battle. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy with great bolts of lightning. He routed them. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. David knew his victories were not by his own strength, but because God fought on his behalf. We also see that the Israelites were really fighting against so many enemies, but God fought for them, really. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 15, it says, "Do not be afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So this is after the Jehoshaphat army faced overwhelming enemies, yet God delivered them without them lifting a sword. Many believers today, they are fighting invisible battles, emotional struggles. It might be about depression. It might be about fear of the future. Or spiritual struggles. There might be temptation, doubt, spiritual attacks. Or it might be relational struggles. It can be toxic relationships, betrayal, or family conflict. David's declaration reminds us that God equips us and fights for us. Even when the battle seems hopeless, he's there. This passage reminds me of a brother who really faced a lot of challenges at work. People creating stories for the brother, but he stood firm. He prayed to God. He asked members of the church to help him pray to God. Really, God answered the prayer. One day, he gets a phone call that the people or the person who was really bringing all these accusations was suspended. What a testimony. What battles are you trying to fight alone? Are you exhausted from carrying the load by yourself? And what's the take-home message from here? You are not fighting alone. God goes before you and equips you with strength. When you look at key point number four, God rewards righteousness and humility and integrity as well. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, says David. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. But to the devious, you show yourself shield. You save the humble, but the eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. David highlights really two principles: God's honor, God's honors integrity and humility, and he opposes pride and deceit. And this is echoed in a number of verses in the Bible. James 4, verse 16 says, "God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." Micah 6, verse 8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Proverbs 3, verse 34, "He mocks the proud but gives grace to the humble." Righteousness and humility are not about perfection or self-effort. They are about alignment with God's ways. Pride often comes from seeking recognition, control, or personal gain, common in David's time and even now In contrast, humility opens the door for God's blessing. In our modern culture, pride is often rewarded publicly. More so in my profession. In my profession, if you do something, if you do a research, you need to publish it, and you need to really make sure that you put it on LinkedIn, which is a social media platform, so that other people can see it and other people can praise you. Look, this is a great researcher. But that's not what the passage is all about. The passage is that we really need to be humble. Humility and integrity sometimes may go unnoticed by the world, but they position us for lasting blessing, influence, and divine favor. This verse really reminds me of a little story that happened. A junior employee at a shipping company was struggling financially due to his low salary. Despite the hardship, he remained faithful to God and committed to his work consistently, demonstrating diligence and integrity. One day, a senior manager retired, and the company began the process of selecting a replacement. The junior worker was among those shortlisted and invited for an interview. During the interview, the panel expressed their admiration for his work ethic and offered him the position, but on one condition, the condition that he would need to falsify documents related to tax returns to help the company save money. They gave him a week to consider the offer. Distressed by the proposal, he confided in his wife. She warned him that rejecting the offer might lead to dismissal, as he knew the company's secret. Troubled, the young man turned to God in prayer, seeking guidance. After a week, he returned to the panel and respectfully declined the offer, stating that he could not compromise his love for God and his integrity. The management was amazed. The interview panel was astonished by his courage and honesty. Instead of penalizing him, they rewarded him with an even higher position than the one he had initially been considered for. His unwavering faith and integrity were honored, not just by the company, but by God. Do you seek God's approval or the world's applause? Where has pride hindered your blessing? The world normally sees God. God sees the heart. Humility may seem light, but it carries internal weight. What's our take-home message? Living with integrity and humility matters. God honors the faithful heart even when the world overlooks it. We move on to the last point. God's covenant is secure. David, in his last words, reflects on God's everlasting covenant. Surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring the fruition, my salvation, and grant me my every desire. Even at the end of long life, filled with battles, victories, and failures, and blessings, David's confidence rests in God's unchanging promises. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they'll be my people. That's a promise God to his people. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. promises of God, the covenant of God, they don't change. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Human promises are mostly fragile. Contracts, sometimes they fail. Friends disappoint. Leaders betray. God's covenant, however, is unbreakable, internal and fulfilled in Christ. This includes salvation, protection, provision, and ultimate hope in internal life. David trusted not in the temporal victories, but in a covenant that spanned generations, ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So David's house was really blessed because of the promise that God made to him. What promises of God are you standing on today? Do you rely on shifting circumstances or the internal covenant of God in Christ? Remember, human promises can be broken. God's covenant is written in stone, unshakable, internal, and fulfilled in Christ. What's the take-home message? Stand on God's promises. They are everlasting and will not fail you. Pulling it all together for the last time, God is our rock and refuge. God hears us in our distress. God fights for us. God rewards righteousness and humility. God's covenant is secure. In conclusion, beloved, the same God who delivered David, the Israelites, Hannah, Job, Paul, and so many, ultimately sent Jesus to redeem us and is with us today. That's a promise. No storm is too strong. No enemy is too fierce. No problem is too big. He is our rock, our refuge, our deliverer. Stand firm and cry out. Trust him. Walk humbly and rejoice in his internal covenant. Let us rise today, not depending on our strength, but on the power and faithfulness of God. The same God who fights for us and hears us and will never fail us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can have you as our God. Thank you, Father, for being our rock, our fortress, and our Savior. Thank you, God, that we can reach out to you in our times of distress. Thank you that you always listen to our prayers. Thank you that you've made promises to us, and these promises can never be broken. Thank you for all the believers in this church. And Father, as we leave this place, we just want to ask that, Father, whatever we've looked into today, we pray, Father, that we learn from it. We learn to depend on you. We learn to walk in you. We learn that you are there for us every time, whether be it in trouble or in good times. We pray, Father, also as we live, that you bless each one of us, that you protect us until we meet again in the following week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.